Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Okay, let's have a little bit of a more deeper look into what happened with Liverpool at the weekend. We've spoken a lot about VAR this morning. What about the Liverpool implosion in terms of results at the moment? Let's catch up with football writer Chris Williams. Morning to you, Chris.
Steve, good morning.
Yeah, it's all about VAR, but actually deeper than that is what has gone wrong with Liverpool in the past two games. They've simply come off the tracks.
Well, they have. They've come off the track spectacularly. And I know a lot of people will look to VAR on Friday, but I think it sort of helped Liverpool out a little bit, because otherwise, without it, they would have been 3-1 down a lot earlier. It's been a midfield for me, Steve. It's looked empty is probably the best word for it. You could almost say there's a Coutinho-shaped hole in it.
A Coutinho-shaped hole. Well, they're missing him. Would he make the big difference? The three in midfield at the weekend. Wijnaldum's had a couple of games where literally you wouldn't know he was there at all. Emre Can didn't sparkle, and even Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, the standard of his game dropped as well. And I suppose it was signified by the substitutions that were made by Jürgen in the second half.
Well, yeah, it's very odd for a manager to make a triple substitution, especially in the way he did. That probably just reflected his mood, and you're quite right. Gino Wijnaldum was absence probably the best thing to say for the Swansea game, and once again, the game against West Brom, and Emre Can, you know, does he deserve the captaincy? It's a big thing, the captaincy of any club, and he's not committed. I get you can't just, you know, there's shouts for him to be thrown in the reserves and not to play for the rest of the season. You can't do that. He needs to be played. He's fully employed, but is his head there? Is his head there enough to be the captain? And, you know, look at previous Liverpool captains. They've generally got something about them to drive the game going forward, and that was definitely missing. And you know, Liverpool have got a fantastic forward line, but if you've got a fantastic forward line, you need to be able to supply them well. And, you know, unfortunately, the last couple of games, they haven't been supplied particularly well.
It was a strong team, wasn't it? I mean, a lot has been made of Jurgen Klopp's approach to the FA Cup. They've gone out in the last two seasons in the fourth round, which isn't good enough. So I think Jurgen made the right noises ahead of this tie, almost indicating that he wanted to go a long way in it this season.
Yeah, most definitely. In the past, he's been accused of maybe not taking the competition particularly seriously. Maybe fielding a weaker side is probably the wrong word, but a side full of youngsters and inexperienced. This wasn't the case on the weekend. And, you know, on paper, that Liverpool side should have steamrolled West Brom, but they didn't. There was something missing. They didn't look a cohesive side. They didn't really look all together on the pitch, similar to the Swansea game. Now, the Swansea game is a long way to go, and it was the Monday night, so you can have maybe a little excuse for it. You know, it's a long way out of your day, but this was a home game. They had plenty of rest, and there was the spark missing. The spark that Liverpool had seen earlier on in the season is definitely gone at the moment, and it's worrying. Every side goes through it. Every side goes through a slump, unless you're, you know, I mean, Manchester City will go through a slump at some point. It's how you get out of that slump, really, and it's looking a little problematic for Liverpool, because who comes in and changes that game? We saw it on the weekend that the substitutions didn't really work. There's no game changer at the moment.
At the back as well, there's this, you know, there was this idea that you bring Virgil van Dijk in and everything all of a sudden solidifies in terms of Liverpool's defence. How wrong that can be, as the last two games have shown. What, one man isn't going to solve Liverpool's defensive problems?
No, he's not, because teams will just learn to play around that man. So they'll look to get it wide, which West Brom did on occasions, and then they're going to take the chance by playing it in the box. But they didn't. They looked to play it on the floor a little more. The, you know, communication was non-existent between Van Dijk and Matip on the weekend, and that's a worry, because we all thought they would be the starting partnership. Liverpool, I would say, need another defender. And yeah, the wide areas were particularly poor on the weekend, and that's another worry as well, especially the way Liverpool like to play.
So, of course, a couple of weeks on from that Man City win, and you do wonder, did that win have an effect on the performances that we've subsequently seen? Klopp says not. Some of the quotes that he gave afterwards: nothing in training gave me a sign that the boys misjudged the success or results against Man City or the performance. Well, was there anything in terms of a hangover from that game, do you think?
I think if there was, it should have been blown away by the Swansea game, because Liverpool obviously beat Manchester City champions elect, I think we can say that. And then they went into a game against Swansea, who were right at the other end of the table, and they were poor, and that should have given them a wake-up call. But unfortunately, it didn't. I mean, Liverpool got off to a flyer on the weekend, and then it all went wrong very quickly.
Are you expecting anything in terms of the transfer market in the next couple of days then? A lot of Liverpool fans have been crying out for a little bit more resources in terms of the attacking threat. Is this going to happen or not?
Well, Jurgen Klopp's come out and said himself and said, you know, he's happy and there's no need for the club to go into the transfer market, which personally I think is crazy because the squad depth is nowhere near sufficient. He feels it is. Players coming back from injury, had a lot on Adam Lallana, who's now out again injured. He's obviously not taking a chance on Daniel Sturridge. His on-off move to Inter now looks like it may be off. So I think somebody needs to come in. Who's a different matter, though, isn't it? I don't think he wants to buy stopgap players. He wants to buy a player that, if he's going to get them now, it's a summer target that's available. But something needs to be done because Liverpool are out of the FA Cup. They need to qualify for fourth. I mean, we've spoken a lot, Stephen. I firmly believe if Liverpool do not qualify for next season's Champions League, it is a backward step of 3 years.
3 years. You watch the Bundesliga a lot, Chris. Of course, Aubameyang, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, is close to a move to Arsenal now. Is this a significant buy for the Gunners?
Oh, that's a good question. Take Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang on his day, and he's a fantastic striker. If his head's not in it, he's not particularly on the money. Look, on the weekend, he was brought back in. He was absent, and he got a lot of stick from the yellow wall over at Dortmund. And maybe the move to London would do him the world of good. He's one of those guys that said he'd like to move to a big city. For a while, he tried to get a move to Real in the summer, speaking on French radio, also PSG, but is that taking pictures on Instagram from Paris saying how lovely it was. Maybe the move could do him good. If Arsenal get him and he gets to the level he can, and especially bringing Mkhitaryan in as well, Arsenal have had a very good January.
He is a player that was linked with Liverpool in the past, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that'll be the Dortmund relationship between when Klopp was there, but they never actually got on that particularly well. So whether he would have brought him to Liverpool is a different matter, and whether he would fit the style of Liverpool. And I don't really think at the moment the problem is up front, although you get an injury to Salah or Firmino and Liverpool again look very threadbare on the squad.
What was your feeling about the whole VAR situation on the night? Are you a firm backer of it, that it gets the right results, or would you prefer to see things sort of done in a bit more of a quicker fashion, Chris?
I think it needs to be done quicker. I've been watching VAR now quite closely for the whole of the season. It's been rolled out in the Bundesliga. I've been in the stadium when it's been used on many occasions in a press box, and it's a little quicker. There was a problem, I think, Craig Pawson, did he really need to go to look at the screen for the Mohamed Salah penalty? Because he didn't need to look at the screen for the offside. He took Andre Mariner's advice from, I think it's somewhere by Heathrow Airport where they're sitting. But did he need to go and look at the penalty? I think the pressure was there on him to get the decision right. I think people need to remember that VAR won't make refereeing decisions 100%. It takes it up from 96%, which is still quite high, to around about 98% of decisions being correct. It needs to be a little bit quicker. If he can take the advice for the offside, he can take the advice that it's the penalty. You could see he was mouthing definitely as he was talking, looking at the screen. So there's 30, 40 seconds knocked out. And the Bundesliga has not been without its problems for VAR. Referees tending not to believe what's going on in Cologne and wanting to see it themselves. That's fallen away a bit. The MLS has rolled it out quite well. And funnily enough, that's been under the guidance of Howard Webb. So maybe he needs to come back to England and maybe show the FA how it's done a little better.
So when you've watched it in the Bundesliga, is it handled in a different manner? Because, of course, at Anfield, there was that 3-4 minutes where it turns into a bit of a standing joke. No one can see what's going on. No one understands the conversation the referee's having. Time just sort of pauses. Is it done differently in the Bundesliga?
The only thing that's done a little bit differently is the graphic comes up on the screen, video assistant. So the referee will make the television signal with his hands, which doesn't mean he wants to look. That means he wants to go to VAR, and then the graphic will come on screen. It can be. I was in the Stuttgart Stadium for Stuttgart Bayern at the end of the at Christmas, and that was probably about 90 seconds too long a decision. But again, the referee went over to the pitch side monitor and had a look. That's where the problem seems to be. The offside one worked quite quick, Stephen, and worked quite well. Referees need to touch each other. The technology works, needs to trust each other. The technology works perfectly. It's a human interface that's letting it down at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, the other element is to clarify exactly when should the conversation be had. In what instance should that conversation be had? Because there was a moment in that game where the referee seemed to have a conversation with his VAR official when there was a number of West Brom players offside. It was quite obvious it was an offside decision. You sort of thought, well, he didn't need to have that. you know, when is it appropriate to have the conversation? I know there's four pointers, isn't there?
Yeah, there's the four pointers, which is it a goal? Is it not a goal? Is it offside? Is it not offside? Mistaken identity. And the fourth one will come through very quickly. But they are the four reasons. Now, we saw in the Bundesliga, it started to be adapted out a little past that. And that was through the referee's advisor, who was ultimately fired because he changed direction from what the DFL wanted. It needs to hang on those four instances. The minute you start bringing it out, or, you know, was that onside? And I think the problem on the weekend it was such a big game. It's a television game. A lot have been made of VAR. There was the build-up before the game on BT. There was the build-up before the game on radio stations and on the internet. And I think the referees felt the pressure, so they went to it when they didn't. He didn't need to go that. It's not to be reviewed after everything. It's not, is that a goal? Let's go to VAR. It should be for specific moments only. Was there a penalty there? The penalty one's a very good instant. It was just handled a little wrong.
Chris, thank you very much for your time.
Steve, thank you.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.